Good morning. Welcome to Grace of Christ on this beautiful day. How many of you got a hot dog before you came up here? Anybody? Because they're available still till noon. So we're going to try to, you know, move things along here so you can get your hot dog. Would you stand for our call to worship? Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all His praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Standing as you are able as we sing our hymn of praise.
please be seated.
Welcome to Wild Bible Discovery! I'm Carolyn, and I'm going to be your guide through our Bible discoveries this week. At Vacation Bible School this week, Vacation Bible School, we were in the wilderness with the Israelites. But first, we were in Egypt for 400 years. And we were making bricks in the hot desert sand. And we had to use straw, but when Moses asked, "Let my people go," Pharaoh took away our straw. And we had to make just as many bricks and still find our straw. So today, we are going to learn about what happened when when Moses went to Pharaoh in day two, Tuesday. So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and you are going to say in a loud voice, because we are going with Moses to the throne, to the palace, and you're going to say, "Let my people go." So 1, 2, 3. Let my people go.
No.
So Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and so God sent the first plague, which was turning the Red Sea to blood. And all the fish died. And go like this with me. Ew, ew. It really stunk. So, ew, ew. So Pharaoh still wouldn't let us go. So second day we went, 1, 2, 3. Let my people go.
No.
So God sent the plague of frogs. Would everybody go ribbit, 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 ribbit?
Oh, I hate frogs. I hate frogs.
So his heart still was hardened. On the third day, we went to the palace. 1, 2, 3. Let my people go.
Can you spell N-O? No.
So God sent gnats. All of the sand of Egypt turned to gnats. And they were in your face and in your nose and all over your house. So go like this with your fingers and do this high-pitched. But Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. We went once again. 1, 2, 3. Let my people go. So God sent flies, and they weren't just the little flies, they were those big biting horse flies. So go like this with your hands and bzzz, bzzz. But Pharaoh's heart was still hardened, so we went again. 1, 2, 3. Let my people go. So God killed all the livestock of the Egyptians, the cattle, the camels, the sheep, and everything was, and goats. So let's make like a sick mooing sound. Moo. And Pharaoh's favorite cow, Bessie, died.
That's utterly ridiculous.
And Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. So we went once more. 1, 2, 3. Let my people go.
You're supposed to be making bricks. Get back to making bricks. The answer still is no, no, no.
So this time God sent boils, and God sent me a cold sore this week, so I had a boil on my face. But it was like a million mosquitoes had bitten us. So let's scratch ourselves like a million mosquitoes had bit us. Nasty. So we went again. 1, 2, 3. Let my people go.
No.
This time God sent hail. And sometimes when you've been in a storm, if you've been in a hail, it can be small, it can be large, but there was hail. But Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. We went again. 1, 2, 3. Let my people go.
And for the No, no.
So this time, God sent locusts. Whatever crop or whatever was not ruined by the hail, the locust ate. So let's use your hands and go munch, 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 munch. It ate all the plants. It ate all the trees. So one more time we approach Pharaoh. One, two, three. Let my people go. On. So God sent the cover of darkness all over Egypt, except in the area that the Egyptians or the Israelites lived, there was light. After that, the 10th plague that God sent was the death of the firstborn of the Egypt sons and the firstborn of their cattle and their livestock. Because God was going to protect the Israelites, he gave them the instructions to kill a perfect lamb, roast the meat, and put the blood over the doorpost. This, when the angel of death went over the land of Egypt, he would see the blood of the lamb, and he would pass over, and all of the Israelites remained safe. But Pharaoh's firstborn was killed, and he came to the Egyptians brokenhearted.
My son, my firstborn son has died. Oh, you, all of you, take your herds, take your cattle, take everything, take your God and go. Do it now.
So the Israelites fled and they went into the wilderness, and God provided for them in the parting of the Red Sea. When they had been traveling in the desert for 3 days, he provided water, and it was bitter, but Moses was able to put a stick in it and it turned sweet. He provided quail, in our case, cornflakes, and he provided manna, and quail, in our case, peeps. And so the kids learned that when change comes, God is good. And then we learned about Jesus. Every year on Vacation Bible School on the fourth day is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the sixth day, or the fifth day, we had traveled for 40 years, not because we were lost, but because we were disobedient. And we came to the Jordan River, and God separated the flooded Jordan River, and we were able to go through, and we picked up stones as a memorial, and we made memorials to when they learned that when the Israelites, anytime God did something special for them, they made a memorial, and then they were able to take that home, that they put their name and the cross on it. So they learned that when life is good, God is good.
Hello, I'm Brooke Arkills. This is Erica Clark, and we are here to share with you about the prayer tent portion of VBS. As one of the stations, the kids got to come, and it is an actual tent on the lawn, and the kids get to meet one-on-one with one of our prayer volunteers and pray and listen to God. And as we share about what happened in the prayer tent this week, my purpose in sharing with you is not just to give you information, but to impart some faith and some hope for your own prayer life, that you may hear these testimonies from the kids and have greater trust in the prayers that you're praying to God.
So I'd like to share some of the testimonies that we had during the week with you from the prayer tent. On Wednesday, our Bible verse was from Psalm 106:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And one of our youth volunteers came into the prayer tent, and he wanted to pray for his grandma, who had some specific health issues. So we prayed for her. He went home that afternoon, shared with grandma that we prayed for her, and asked her how she felt, and all of her pain was gone. So this little guy came back the next day, and he shared with his class that testimony that of her healing, and we all got to thank God together. The next day, we specifically had the kids come in, and we specifically asked Jesus what he wanted us to know about him. And the kids heard things like, good father, Jesus died for me, strong, fun, protector. And it was just really quite a joy to see these kids praying and hearing from God, having that two-way conversation.
Like Erica said, we were talking about, I gave the example on one day of, I spoke with one of the kids and I didn't let them speak back to me, even if they tried. I just kept talking and chitter chatter, chitter chatter, chitter chatter. And I said, that's sometimes how I pray. And I just give all my information to God and then, amen, I move on. But I don't ever pause and take time to quietly listen and expect that God wants to talk to me, wants to talk to you. And we encourage the kids in your prayer not only to talk to God, but to also take time and see what he might say to you. So one boy that I got to pray with that day, we asked God, okay, God, is there somebody you'd like me to pray for? And he's like, oh, I think God told me my mom. We're like, okay, let's ask God what about? Because of course we can think of our own ideas, but let's try asking God. Maybe there's something specific. And so the little boy asked God what to pray about, and he said about her work. But neither of us really had a sense of what about the work. So I was like, well, just start thanking God for your mom's job and anything that comes to your mind. Just start talking to God. There's no real rules about what to say. And so he just started thanking God for his mom's job and different aspects of it. And then all of a sudden he had a huge smile on his face and he said, I think God's going to give my mom money for everything that we need. And just like, he walked away just totally at peace. And that was really beautiful to see. So that and many other powerful stories happened as we had the privilege of encouraging the kids in their own prayer life. So speaking of prayer, if you will join us now, I'd love to lead you in prayer for our church, our city, and our country. And then Erica will continue from there. So please bow your heads with me. Gracious and loving God, I just proclaim you as leader over this place, over this church. You place leaders in authority, but we just look to you first and foremost as our leader. I pray that you would give us the patience to listen to you and then the courage to act on what you have to say to us. I pray that the people of this church, the people of Yakima, and the people of our country would have greater freedom as they place their trust in you and find healing in relationship with you. We love you so much, God.
God, forgive us. Sometimes we allow threats to unity to enter the church, making it hard to see that we are your community. We act as though we do not need each other. We do not always love one another. We do not know and bear one another's burdens. We fail to build each other up. We do not always give ourselves willingly and joyfully to one another. Father, forgive us and strengthen us so that we may live in the unity that you grant us. By Christ's work, we are reconciled and united with God and with one another. Thanks be to God for the good news in Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Now please join us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please stand and to sing our hymn of thanksgiving, and you can find that on 408, I Surrender All.
Amen.
Before you're seated, would you just turn to somebody and pass the peace and the love and the joy of Christ around? So somebody referred to John Stoltzenbach as Pharaoh. It's kind of like Yul Brynner. That. It was just the acting. It was the acting. You did a great job. So today we conclude our series on drops of grace. We're going to look at S, and that's to serve like Christ. And you'll see the focus sentence is that God's amazing grace is revealed when we serve like Christ. And honestly, this past week, there were so many people from our church. If you see anybody wearing these blue shirts, they were involved in helping serve these young boys and girls that were here at the first service or down in the bounce houses right now. And truly, the grace of God was revealed through all of them as they serve these boys and girls like Christ, in the name of Christ, with the love of Christ. And so we're going to talk about that this morning and what it means for us to reveal the grace of God when we also serve like Christ. Our text this morning is in Luke 22, and I'll be starting to read at verse 24. And I just want to point out, just to put it in context, that this passage that we're looking at today falls on the heels of the Last Supper. And it was at that Last Supper, you remember, that Jesus did share with them somebody here at this table is going to betray me. And he said, because the reason I am here on earth and what I'm sharing now with you at this meal is to inform you and to let you know that the events that are going to take place ordained by God will lead to my arrest and my eventual death on a cross. And it is while Jesus dies on the cross that Romans 5 tells us that God's full grace, the extent of God's grace, all of His grace and love and mercy was fully displayed there in Jesus Christ as He did indeed become a servant, humbling Himself to the point of death on a cross. And so that's the context of these words, the Last Supper, looking forward to the death of Christ on the cross. And it goes on in verse 24 and it says, a dispute also arose among them, the disciples, as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And He, Jesus, said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatness among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater? One who reclines at the table or one who serves? Jesus says, is it not, according to the world standards, is it not the one who reclines at table? Are they not considered the greatest? Well, Jesus then concludes this section and He says, but I am among you as the one who serves. The greatest became the least. Let's pray. Almighty God, I am so grateful for the fact that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son to us. That He was fully human yet fully God. He understands our suffering and our pain and our sorrow. He weeps along with us. He identifies with us. He gave His life for us that we now might find our identity with Him. So Lord, continue to humble us, continue to break us, continue to bring us and draw us to Your throne of grace that we might receive mercy in time of need. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. So, last week I shared with you about watering your garden. In our case, the backyard, and going out to plants, and you turn on the water, nothing is there, and you look back and there's a kink in the hose. And I talked about how that kink in the hose prevents the water from flowing freely, and in the same way, the kink in our lives, in our relationship with God, sometimes prevents us from knowing the power and the presence, the grace of God in our lives. I also believe that the kink in our lives, in our relationship with God, can also prevent us from revealing grace to others. So this past Friday, no lie, this is a true story. This past Friday, I went into the backyard. I went to the spigot. I turned on the water. I grabbed the hose, went to the bushes that I needed to water. I opened the nozzle, and no water came out. I had a kink. So I put the hose down, I went to the kink, I undid it, came back, opened up the nozzle, still no water. I looked back, there was another kink. And I'm thinking, okay, is that a new kink? Or was that there before and I just didn't see it because I was paying attention to the first kink? And it got me to thinking, I wonder if at times, and perhaps God shared with you something last week where He wanted to go and undo whatever was knotted up in your life to free the living waters of the Holy Spirit, to receive His grace abundantly over and over. I wonder if that isn't the real kink, but there's another one that we have to pay attention to. And I wonder if it's like weeds in the garden. I wonder if it's like trying to get stones out of the dirt. It never ends. This morning, it's easy for us to look at the disciples and put everything in context here and recognize that after Jesus shared about the fact that he was going to die and that one of them was going to betray them, that all of a sudden they go from wondering, is it me? Am I the one who will betray Jesus? And then in the next heartbeat to go, well, I wonder if I'm going to be the greatest though. And we can look at that and say, you know, they just lack compassion. They lack any kind of empathy or sympathy. Jesus just bore his heart to them. He just shared with them what was going to happen to them. And their first thought was, huh. Well, if Jesus dies, and they're thinking this probably all to themselves, well, I wonder if I'll be put in charge. I wonder if everyone will look to me. I wonder if I'm going to be the greatest. And it says they got into an argument. They started disputing about who was going to be the greatest. You know, you can't fault them. They're human just like us. And when we get consumed with us, ourselves, when we're focused about our significance, our importance, our rights, when we try to claim or reclaim our territory, there's going to be a division. There's going to be animosity. There's going to be anger. There's going to be fighting. And so I don't even think that the first kink or the issue that Jesus wants to address with the disciples is the fact that they had no empathy for him. I really think in our text today, what he wants to drive at, what he wants to drill down into is their pride and their ego. You know, we're all human. We all strive to be the best we can. We want to be great. And there's a way to have a healthy ego, to want to do the best we can for God and the best we can for others. But sometimes it gives us this inflated sense of self-worth and self-value. And we place our importance and our identity upon what we do rather than who we are in Christ. We live in a culture today, and I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but we are so me-driven, so me-centered, that Apple, the Apple company, has played into it or perhaps created it so that we now have to buy iPhones and iPads and iMacs because, after all, it's all about me. We live in a culture that demands their rights, that who feels entitled to so much more, that we no longer see the Trinity as consisting of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, instead, the Trinity is all about me, myself, and I. It's all about me. I will take care of myself. I am in charge. I am in control. I can do whatever I want to do. You see, the ego, the pride that dwells deep within all of us is really the nature, the root, the heart, the core of sin. John Stoltenbach shared with me earlier that in recovery groups, the word ego means edging God out. They like that. Edging God out. You see, when it's all about us, we keep God at a distance. We don't allow His grace to come through and humble us. We don't allow His grace to flow through us like streams of living water. And we don't allow that grace then to be evidenced by others because we're too proud to bend our knee and serve someone like Christ. Jesus says in verse 25 and 26 to the disciples, he says, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors." You see the pecking order? You see, there's this desire to be the benefactor, the one who everybody else is serving, rather than being the one who serves. And Jesus says, I didn't come into this world so that you could serve me. I came into this world so that I can serve you. And so Jesus tells him instead, the greatest, if you want to know who's the greatest, he says, the greatest among you should be like the youngest. And the one who rules, like the one who serves. So if we want to be great, truly great, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God, we need to learn to serve like Christ. Listen to the words of Paul in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or something to use for his benefit, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus not only came to earth and emptied himself and became a human. He took on the role and nature of a servant. He humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. But he didn't only just show his humility. He didn't just reveal the grace of God as a servant of God by dying on the cross. He revealed the grace of God his entire life in ministry as he humbled and served those around him. He says in verse 27, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? The world will say the one at the table. The one who serves, they're nothing. They're nobodies. They are the lowly, the least of the least. Jesus says, is it not the one who is at the table? And then he turns everything upside down. He says, but I, equal with God, who left eternity and came to earth, I am among you as one who serves. In John's Gospel, in the account of the Last Supper, you might remember that it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. You see, Jesus knew who he was. His identity was not in his status. His identity was not in his importance or his greatness. He knew he came from God. He knew that everything he had was God. He knew that he would go back to God. He belonged to God. Which is why in the garden he's able to humbly give it all and say, Lord, not my will, not what I want, but your will be done. And it says then at that time, at that meal, Jesus got up from the table and he put a towel around his waist and he set his garments aside and he grabbed a basin of water and a towel, and it says he went to the disciples and he began to wash their feet. Do you remember Peter's reaction? No. Like Pharaoh. No. You, Lord, Master, Teacher, you are not going to wash my feet. I'm going to wash your feet. You see, his pride, his ego right then couldn't allow Jesus to love him in such a way. But Jesus said, no, you don't understand, Peter. Unless you really want to be with me, unless you really want to be great in the kingdom of God, you need to let me wash your feet. And I think the Holy Spirit was beginning to speak into Peter's mind and his heart. And he realized that what has been going on up to this moment, including the Lord's Supper, everything that would take place was all about Jesus laying down his life to die on the cross for our sins, to wash us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so he says, yes, Lord, then everything, not just my feet, my head, my shoulders, my back, everything, wash me inside and out. And then, when Jesus gets done, he tells the disciples, what I have done for you, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Can you imagine their reaction? Oh, I'm not touching those feet. What do you mean? Jesus isn't literally saying wash one another's feet. What he's saying is go out and reveal the grace of your heavenly Father. Humble yourselves. Set your ego to the side and serve and sacrifice and love others in the way that I am doing for you. If we are to wash one another's feet, if we are to serve like Christ, we have to humble ourselves. We have to lay our ego down. We have to deny ourselves, not to deny who we are in Christ, but we have to let go of our rights, what we think belongs to us. We have to leave our ego at the cross, at the altar. See, if we want to emulate Christ, he says in Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus also said in John 15, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And so Jesus invites us to follow him, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves. So the question we have to ask ourselves today is, am I willing to let God deal with my pride? Am I willing to set down my ego and leave it at the door when I come here for worship? Am I willing to leave my pride and my ego, my arrogance, my self-righteousness, leave it at the cross, leave it at the altar when I go out today into the fields so that I might reveal the grace of God as I lay down my life for others, as I serve like Christ? You see, I know that we deal with these kinks in our hose all the time. And we're constantly in need of being reminded that Jesus has forgiven all of our sins on the cross, that God has removed our sins as far away as east is from the west. We are constantly having to come before God and confess our sins so that we can be assured that the work that Jesus did on the cross is finished, that he died once that we might live forever. And so whatever it is that God has been addressing in your life, maybe this past week, maybe today it's humility. Maybe God is wanting to work on your pride and your ego so that your life doesn't revolve around you. Maybe that's the kink in your hose, but I wonder if it begins somewhere else. I wonder if there's a layer that God wants to peel away and to even go a bit further. Because here's what I think we all wrestle with at the core, is that we don't fully trust that God loves us, that we don't fully believe that who we are in all of our filth, that God was willing to send his Son Jesus Christ to come to wash our feet and to forgive our sins by dying on the cross. You see, that's a lie that the enemy wants us to buy into. We become like Peter and saying, no, not me. Let me fix my holes. Let me do the work that needs to be done. Let me clean myself up. But God, right now, no. You can't come into that place. And so this morning, I want to break that lie. I want you to leave here this morning knowing, trusting, believing, accepting, living according to the truth that God loves you right where you are. And that he wants to set you free from the lies that have bogged you down. He wants to set you free from that concept that you have to work harder to earn his love, that you have to be better. So here's what I want you to do. And just humor me in this. I want you to close your eyes. Go ahead, close your eyes. Don't let pride or ego get in the way. Close your eyes. You see, God is here. This is His place. This is His house. And we stand on holy ground when we come here. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that right where you are, sitting in that pew, all of a sudden Jesus shows up. And He sits next to you. What are you feeling? What's your body language? Are you squirming a little bit? Are you feeling a little uneasy? Are you thinking about that argument you had on the way to church today? Are you wondering if Jesus is now sitting next to you because He wants to reprimand you? Do you scoot over just a little bit because Jesus is getting too close? What are you feeling? What's going on? Then if you have that image, that picture of Jesus sitting there, can you allow Him to get up and then get on His knees? Can you allow Him to take your shoes off? Your socks? That's a very vulnerable place to be in. It's a risky place. You see, I believe at that point, Jesus doesn't need a wet towel because He's going to wash your feet with His tears. Because Jesus weeps. In His humanity, He knows our pain, our suffering. He knows our temptations. He knows our weaknesses. And He wants you to be free. He wants to cleanse you inside and out. So His heart breaks for you. Can you let Him do that? Can you allow Christ, God in human flesh, to kneel before you and wash your feet? Father God, I pray that in our brokenness, in our hearts like Pharaoh, that where we get hardened because of the things in this world or the experiences we've been through, Lord, I pray that wherever there is resistance, wherever there is pride or ego getting in the way, would You break through? Would Your grace break through and set us free? Grace upon grace, love upon love, mercy upon mercy, truth upon truth. And we know that in Jesus Christ, those who are set free are free indeed. So remind each person here this morning that You have washed them. Though their sins were scarlet red, now by the blood of Christ, they are white as snow. Set them free to find their identity in You and in nothing else. In Christ alone, for it's in His name I pray, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bill, for that gracious message, and what a good reminder for all of us. What kink is stopping us from serving like Jesus? And then that, just that reminder that our ego is just edging God out of our lives and not letting Him come into it. And I just thank You and praise You for that great message. And I have to tell you, this week, I got to see God at work in many ways, providing when provision needed to be. So we were busy working and we had all the helpers we needed and we actually got one extra. And then here you go, you find that here's a student that's sick. Well, God already provided another student to replace them. And that kind of happened throughout the week in our second grade classroom. And it was so amazing to see God. And then, you know, I got to work with this amazing 11-year-old. And I think you'll hear his name spoken. And his name was Caleb. And if you wanted to see the heart of God, you saw God through Caleb. Because over and over again, I think they shared a story about Caleb asking for prayer for his grandmother, and that prayer was answered. And to watch him with these little second graders, you know, just speaking to them, but it was the heart of God. It wasn't Caleb speaking, it was God speaking to these children. So what a blessing. So remember, when you get the kink out of your hose and you go and serve, you know, we go to be a blessing, but ultimately, you are the one that is blessed beyond measure. And this week, I was blessed. So we got to get those kinks out so we can go and serve. So moving on, I would love to welcome all those who maybe are visiting today. We have a connect card. It should be in your bulletin. Please pull it out. Sign your name. Let us know you're here. And if you have a special prayer request, we love to pray for you. And the power of prayer is amazing. And we are a praying family. If you just have a question about our church, write it down and we'll call, connect with you and answer that question. But most importantly, when you leave this morning, out at our welcome center, there is a welcome packet, and inside there is a card so that you can go to our coffee bar out in the hallway and get a coffee on us. And we just welcome you into our church family, and we hope that you will feel the power of God with you as you are here worshiping with us this morning. And now if you, during the offertory, you will see, typically we will have things that are going on in our church and ways that you can serve. But today, just sit back and relax and enjoy the view of VBS via the internet. Well, or through the video. And so as the ushers come forward, let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are in our lives, and that you want to be with us and you are over us, that you are our God, that you've given us the gifts, but you don't want us to just hold them in and keep them for ourselves. You want us to share those gifts with your children, those who do not know you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all the gifts and the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for our time, our talents, and our treasures. Use us and bless these gifts as we give back to you for your kingdom, to do your kingdom's work. And we thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us how we can serve one another and reach out to those who do not know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. join me in singing the hymn of response? I am thine, O Lord. And that's found on 455.
May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to fall upon you in fresh and new ways. May the love, the mercy, the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, may the fellowship and the joy and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit go, fill you, surround you, and flow from you as you go now and serve in the name of Christ. Amen.